أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم عباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. Today happens to be the anniversary of the wafat of the 11th Imam, Imam Hassan bin Ali al-Askari alayhi salatu wassalam. And would like to share with you a hadith from him. Hopefully that this will help us in becoming better Muslims, better Shias, and better human beings, inshallah. This is actually in a written form that Imam wrote to his Shias, where he says, "Usikum, I advise you." And there are about, you know, 7 or 8 things that he talks about, beginning with bitaqwallah, that I advise you or counsel you to have this taqwa, the fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't fear Allah, we fear His justice, we fear His punishment. And so that is the sense of taqwa. And if we have that kind of a fear, which is based on that law that we don't want to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that really would have a strong impact in how we conduct ourselves. After taqwa, he says, "Wal wara' fi dinikum." Although he has already mentioned taqwa, taqwa is a very important quality. It's not that easy to reach to that level. But then Imam actually now raises the bar, where he says, "Wal wara' fi dinikum," that I advise you to exercise caution in the matters of your religion. And this is where we are being told that don't stay at the basic level. You know, the basic level is, yes, what is halal, what is haram, we just abide by that. You know, and in the gray area, as long as we don't know for sure it's haram, you have the benefit of doubt. But Imam now is saying that, no, I don't want you only to have this level of taqwa. I would like you to go to the level of wara. You know, exercise caution in the matters of your religion. Number three, wal ijtihad lillah, and struggle and work hard for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we are talking about reforming ourselves, making ourselves better, increasing our knowledge, which is beneficial for our dunya and akhirah, and whatever we are supposed to do and work hard on it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, be hardworking people. Number four, was sidqul hadith, truthfulness in speech. You know, this is actually one of the core values of Islamic akhlaq and ethics. And then he comes to the issue of ada il amana ila man itamanakum min birrin aw fajir, and to hand over the amana, the trust which has been given to you, whether the other person is a sinner or a righteous person, doesn't matter. It's not that when the amanat comes from someone who is, you know, as a sinful person, therefore we have a right to, you know, take it by deceit and, you know, use it in that way. No, Imam says it doesn't matter. The person who gave you the amanat, the trust, was a good person or a bad person, when the amanat is given, you have to take care of it and you have to hand it back to that person whenever the time comes. Number six, وَطُولُ السُّجُودِ, prolonging the sajda. This refers more to when people are doing nafila. You know, the recommendations are there. The basic thing is three tasbih. Subhanallah, 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 or subhana rabbil ala wa bihamdi. That is the minimum. But then you can always increase that. Make it, you know, 6 times, 9 times, 12 times. And this is basically talking about when you do the nafila prayers, if you want to prolong the sajda, you know, this is one of the recommendations of the imam. Wa husnul jawar, to be a good neighbor to your neighbors, irrespective whether they are Shia or Sunni or Christian or Yahud or, you know, Buddhist or Hindu, it doesn't matter. To have that, you know, cordial relationship, and the minimum of that we see in the ahadith is that prevent your shar and your evil from your neighbor. That is the minimum of being, you know, good to the neighbors. So even if you don't do anything positively, you know, at least prevent your shar and your evil from, you know, so not disturbing them, not creating problems for them, because you are neighbors and there will be interaction in one way or another. And after mentioning all these 7 items, then the imam says, فَبِحَاذَ جَاءَ مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. These are the things that Muhammad came with it. That is our deen. صَلُّ فِي أَشْرَعِرِهِمْ وَاشْحَدُوا جَنَائِزَهُمْ وَعُودُ مَرْضَاهُمْ وَعَدُّوا حُقُوقُهُمْ. Then he talks about our involvement in the community. And according to the ulama here, when he says أَشْرَعِرُهُمْ وَجَنَائِزُهُمْ وَمَرْضَاهُمْ, you know, there he is referring to not just our own Shia community, the wider, you know, members of the ummah, interact with them. You know, even go for prayers with them. You know, be part of the janazah with them. Go and visit those who are sick and fulfill the rights of other people in the Muslim community. And at the end, Imam concludes by saying, فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلْ مِنْكُمْ إِذَا وَرِعَ فِي دِينِهِ وَصَدَقَ فِي حَدِيثِهُ في حديثه وعد الأمانة وحسن خلقه مع الناس. When a person exercises caution in the matters of his religion, number one, and he is truthful in his speech, number two, and he fulfills the trust which has been given to him, number three, and he is good in his interaction and akhlaq with the people, number four, he says, when this happens, وَقِيلَ هَذَا شِيعِيٌّ, and people say, oh, he's a Shia, you know, Imam says, this pleases me. Because by your akhlaq, people will come to know you are a Shia of Ali, Shia of Ahlul Bayt, and this is a matter, فَيَسُرُّنِي ذَلِكَ, this makes me happy. And so basically, Imam is expecting us that if you really want to please the imam, especially the imam of the time, it is by our akhlaq, our speech, our exercising, you know, caution in the matters of religion and fulfilling the amanat. اتقوا الله وكونوا زينا ولا تكونوا شينا. He says, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be a matter of pride for us. Do not be a matter of shame for us. It shouldn't be that because of your behavior, people say, oh, these are the Shias of Ahlul Bayt. Because then that reflects negatively on us. جروا إلينا كل مودة وادفعوا عنا كل قبيح. You know, whatever low and goodness is there, you know, pull people towards us on that basis. And deflect whatever is evil from us. But Imam is saying, you can do that by your own actions, by, you know, people bringing people closer and averting any negativity from the Imams. فَإِنَّهُمَا قِيلَ فِينَا مِنُ حُسْنٍ فَنَحْنُ أَهْلُهُ. Whatever good people say about us, indeed we deserve it. وَمَا قِيلَ فِينَا مِنْ سُوءٍ, and whatever evil that people talk about us, فَمَا نَحْنُ كَذَلِكَ, we are not like that. And so do not say, you know, do not let people say negative things about us because of your misbehavior, because that reflects on our image. And this is the message that we have from Imam Hassan Askari alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the reality of what it means to be a Shia, to be a follower of the Ahlul Bayt, and implement the teachings that he has given to us. Inna ahsan al-hadith kitab Allah al-aziz, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wal asr inna al-insana lafi khusr, illa al-lazina amanu wa amilu al-salihat wa tawasaw bil-haq wa tawasaw bil-sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموت الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة ما سلف من ذنوبكم. The Shias around the world will be celebrating tomorrow, which is known as Eid al-Zahra. Symbolically, you know, it is considered to be the end of the special ceremonies that we have in remembering the tragedy of Karbala. But the day itself, the 9th of Rabiul Awwal, coincides with the day when the commander-in-chief of the Yazidi forces in Karbala, by the name of Umar ibn Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, was captured and killed by the forces of Mukhtar bin Ubaidullah Saqafi. And this happened, you know, 5 years after the events of Karbala. He is a fellow that Imam actually used to meet him 3 days from what I can recall from history, because Umar ibn Sa'd came into Karbala on the second or the third of Muharram with the assignment given to him by Ibn Ziyad, who was the governor of Yazid in Kufa. And he was kind of reluctant to get involved in this issue of, you know, killing Imam Hussein. And they had actually erected a tent between the two campsites, in between. And Imam would go with two individuals or three, and Umar ibn Sa'd also will come. And they would actually then sit in the tent and discuss this issue. This was the first question that he had. What is the purpose of you coming here? And Imam said, you know, people of Kufa had sent me letters, and you know the rest of the story. But Umar ibn Sa'd was trying to bring about a situation that doesn't get involved in killing of Imam Hussein. Imam actually told him, what is your problem? He says, well, I'm afraid, you know, Ibn Ziyad will harass my family. Imam Hussein says, I guarantee you we will protect you and your family. Well, he will erase my house in Kufa. What do you see the Israelis doing now in Palestine is nothing new. This is Umayyad, you know, way of doing things. Muawiyah used to actually erase the houses of those Shias who were, you know, arrested or killed just as a punishment to the whole family. And Imam said, I'll give you a property that which belongs to me in Medina. Don't worry about it. Money, you know, but nothing really, you know, convinced him to come on the side of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And eventually, when 9th of Muharram came, and he had actually sent a letter to Ibn Ziyad, saying that Hussein says, if you don't want, the people of Kufa don't want me anymore,
I'm going to go back to Medina or go somewhere else. And Umar al-Sa'd said that, see, these are the options Hussein is giving. There is no need to fight. And he added a third option from himself. He says Hussein is willing to go directly to Yazid and then deal with him directly. Where the slave of Imam Hussein by the name of Uqma bin Sam'an, who was kind of a secretary of the Imam, personal assistant of the Imam, he was there in all those meetings. And even people like Tabari have many narrations about the events of Karbala from Uqba bin Sam'an. Uqba bin Sam'an says this is absolutely not true. Imam never said that I'm willing to go to Yazid. This is Umar ibn Sa'd trying to save himself, adds that as an option. And initially, Ibn Ziyad started thinking about it positively. But there was another mal'oon by the name of Shimr there. He said to Ibn Ziyad, You will let Hussein, you know, leave your jurisdiction? It will be a shame on you. And this is where on the 9th of Muharram, Shimr comes with that letter of Ibn Ziyad to Umar ibn Sa'd. Either you do your task or hand over the command to me. The reason I'm mentioning is that, you know, this is a fellow who was given the opportunity, even the worldly, you know, gains that he wanted. But he eventually decided to, you know, be on the side of Yazid, and he became the first person to throw the arrow towards the tents of Hussein on the day of Ashura. And so 9th Rabiul Awwal is the day he was arrested and killed by the forces of Mukhtar, and that is where it is celebrated as the day of Eid al-Zahra, salawatullah alayha. Some of the Yazidi sympathizers in the world of Islam, scholars like Ibn Taymiyyah, even this so-called master of spirituality, Imam Ghazali, these people try to, you know, deflect the blame from Yazid. And they say that, well, you know, Yazid said that everything was done by Ibn Ziyad. I didn't ask him to do this. And this is how they try to, you know, separate Yazid from Ibn Ziyad and what happened in Karbala. But those who are, you know, true scholars, even among Sunnis, sensible, you know, Sunni historians, people like, during our time, Dr. Taha Hussein of Egypt, he has many, many books on the early history of Islam. In one of his books, known as Al-Fitnatul Kubra, he rejects the statement that Yazid regretted the, you know, the massacre of Karbala. And he says if there was any sincerity in what Yazid is supposed to have said, and blaming Ibn Ziyad, he says, why didn't he reprimand Ibn Ziyad? Why didn't he punish him? Why did not he, you know, fire him from the position of being the governor of Iraq? Why did he not demote him? According to Taha Hussein, he did nothing, which shows in any way that he, you know, feels bad about what Ibn Ziyad had done. And this is where we have to realize this is nothing new. It is the habit of these people in higher, you know, positions always when they do things in a way where they are caught, they will always use their subordinates, you know, as scapegoats. You know, look at the example of Jamal Khashoggi. What happened there? The actual plan was basically to kidnap him and bring him by force to Saudi Arabia. But we had to realize, and this was, he was actually part of this group initially. His writings, if you see his articles in the newspapers, he used to support Muhammad bin Salman's adventure into Yemen. He was a supporter of this war, which is going on now. Only when he started criticizing the concentration of power done by Muhammad bin Salman, and this is where he became a bad guy, and they turned against him, and his story, you know, ended up in his own murder. And now the blame is not put on Muhammad bin Salman, it's on those who were working for him. Oh, he didn't know about it. You know, so what we see in the old history is being repeated now. There's nothing new. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Shu'ara, سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيُّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. The zalimeen would have some leeway in doing what they are doing, but a time will come when things will change and they will realize the reality in this dunya and akhirah. May Allah show us that day sooner. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان. ما إحيى آثار البدء والطغيان هادم أمنية الشرك والنفاق حاصد فور البغض والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آبائه الكرام ما اتصلت الليالي والأيام. اللهم عجل فرج وسهل مخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى. إن الله يعمل بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.